Hello and welcome to another episode of Songdoers. I have an announcement. I am proud to announce that I have received my first ever piece of fan mail. It's a drawing of me, but it's not entirely accurate. I look more like a can of beans than a person, but it's a good try. I'm in and amongst a bunch of other people who also look like items you'd find at a grocery store. Seems to be some sort of newsletter. Each one of us is given a rating. My rating is 1.99. The guy who looks like broccoli's on sale. Welcome to Songdoers. Episode 8. Madison Bus. Madison Bus was a psychedelic funk band from Iowa. Their lead singer and songwriter, Sparts McGrady, was a musical prodigy. In 1968, when Sparts was just 8 years old, he was named Best Guitarist in Iowa, which wasn't that hard, but also wasn't that easy. At 10 years old, his band Sparts and the Grown-Ups cracked the Billboard 100 with their song, "I'll Eat Those Raisins." Things looked very promising for Sparts until one day, while he was dutifully practicing guitar, it broke! He took it to a guitar repair shop in a dangerous area of a big city in the state of Iowa. As he waited around for the guitar technician to fix his guitar, it started to get dark outside. Sparts knew the gangs would be waking up and they'd be cranky. Afraid of having his guitar be stolen by cranky gangsters, he politely asked the owner of the repair shop if he could sleep there for the night. The owner politely said no, and Sparts politely asked again. Suddenly, all the politeness was sucked out of the room as the guitar repair shop owner said, in an impolite way, "Nuh-uh." He handed Sparts his guitar, took Sparts his money, and physically pushed Sparts out onto the streets and into some mud. Sparts began walking home through a scary neighborhood. He heard a gunshot, a scream, and someone saying, "Stop screaming, I've been shot." Suddenly, a pack of wild dogs, which were a recognized gang known as the Barkmen, began snarling and running towards Sparts. Frightened of being eaten alive, and later being eaten dead, he ducked into an alleyway. The dogs, who were actually barking at a squirrel behind Sparts, ran by, with one small dog trailing behind and barking in a funny way. But nothing would make Sparts laugh, for Sparts had just unknowingly walked right into a drug dealer's open-air store. "Hello," said the drug dealer. "Hello," said Sparts, politely. "Would you like to buy some drugs?" asked the drug dealer, and it was at this point that Sparts had to make a difficult decision. Be impolite and say no, or say yes and head down a dark path of lifelong drug use. The polite boy that he was, Sparts said yes to the offer of drugs. Suddenly, Sparts did drugs. When he arrived back at rehearsal with Sparts and the Grown-Ups the next night, Sparts was a changed boy. He cussed, and he burped without saying, "Excuse me." The Grown-Ups looked around at each other nervously. They were worried about their reputations. They all had important jobs at important factories. They couldn't be seen hanging around a boy who belched without requesting forgiveness. They abandoned Sparts and told him to come find them when he cleaned up his act. Sparts rolled his eyes. He knew he was into drugs now, and he always would be in the future. 8 years later, Sparts, still a drug user, had a new band, Madison Bus. They created psychedelic funk tunes that hippies really dug, dude. You'd love them. One day after a gig, Sparts met a woman named Triff. Triff also did drugs, so they were a perfect match. They immediately got married and bought a house with a yard and a pool filled with drugs. But as the two of them aged, Triff became tired of doing drugs all the time. She wanted to try new things, like working in an important factory. But she knew an important factory would never hire anyone who did drugs. So she looked in the mirror and said, "That'll do." And though it was difficult, she quit doing drugs. Sparts, however, did not look in the mirror and say anything from a movie that wouldn't come out for 20 years. Instead, as Triff was quitting drugs, he used more drugs because there were extra drugs laying around the house because Triff wasn't using hers. Sparts ended up doing double the amount of drugs he normally did. He could have just asked his dealer to bring less drugs, but Drugs had some sort of addictive hold on Spartz, and he relished the opportunity to do more. Soon after she became sober, Triff realized she couldn't be with Spartz anymore if he was still doing drugs. The double drugs had made him quite unreasonable. So she packed up her things, got a job at a factory, and moved into an apartment above it. During the day, she did important business at the important factory, and at night, she went upstairs to her apartment to do chores and be boring. Spartz was devastated. Quickly, he realized he couldn't live without Triff and drove his car to the factory/apartment complex. There was, however, a problem that prevented Spartz from breezing on in. The complex had only one entrance, and it was guarded by a security guard who had a breathalyzer machine. The breathalyzer machine tested for drugs, and if Spartz had drugs in his system, he could not get inside to see Triff. He tried and failed the machine. He was bummed. Spartz knew he couldn't just stop doing drugs, but every day, for months, Spartz would do just a little less drugs, hoping that the amount of drugs in his system would be small enough to trick the breathalyzer machine. But every day, it beeped and said, "You're bad," and he was denied the chance to see Triff. One day, Spartz woke up and decided to do less drugs than the day before. And this day, it was zero drugs. Spartz had weaned himself off drugs completely to be with the woman he loved. Triff, from before, remember? He proudly drove down to the factory/apartment complex and blew into the breathalyzer. The machine said, "Way to go, champ," and the security guard let Spartz into the parking lot. He found Triff on the factory floor, doing factory stuff on a conveyor belt. He ran up to her and gave her a hug. The two of them embraced for so long that the machine Triff was working at started to back up and smoke. Triff and Spartz continued their embrace. The machine was on fire, and the rest of the staff ran out as the whole factory went up in flames. Still, Triff and Spartz held their embrace. The factory/apartment complex burned down, killing Triff and Spartz. Rumor has it that they're still hugging in heaven to this very day, but I cannot verify that. If you ask me, it's unrealistic. I mean, who hugs that long? A few days, sure, but eternity? Anyway, please enjoy this rocking tune from when Spartz was a drug user. Power Lines, a song about wrinkles bestowing power. That's it for this week's episode of Songdoers. This episode is dedicated to my neighbor, Bill. Bill, wherever you are, probably next door, I see you as my angel. Farewell, everyone. Especially Bill.